Welcome. Good Monday evening to you all. Yes, I know you're expecting Chuck, but instead, you get me. Who am I? I am a Bad Bat Cast, otherwise known as Rob DeVore. Or maybe it was supposed to be the other way around. But anyway, I am your host. I am your Curtis Painter, as it were. I am the clipboard holding backup quarterback right there. For the Peyton Manning there, who is in the basement recharging the batteries for a couple of weeks. I know everybody needs to do it once in a while, and that's okay. But in the meantime, you got me to hand the ball off to everybody. If you don't know who I am, that's okay. You're fortunate. No, I'm kidding. You got to check out my blog at badbatcast.com. My Twitter page at, I'm also at a Bad Batcast on Twitter. So, feel free to jump on there, watch some videos, leave me an email, leave me a nice little tweet, something like that. But, I am based in Clearwater, Florida, which is near Tampa. So, otherwise known as Gooberville. So, I am, here, filling in for Chuck here and, I'm glad to be here, man. I kind of forget how to do this stuff, but it's kind of nice to come in and fill in and do a show once in a while. Everybody's kind of filling in to the chat room there. So we got to if you're new to the show and you're a guest and you're listening and you would like to join the chatter in the chat room there at kayakfishingradio.com. You can use your Facebook sign-in to actually jump in there and create yourself and get in there and join the conversation. Also, you can give us a call at 714-816-4727, and we'll be more than happy to give you to talk to you. But we're just going to talk about some kayak fishing and what's been going on. Over the weekend, the Heroes on the Water chapter at Tampa Bay had an event out there. Mr. Becker was one of them out there. I see I'm looking at the article on yakangler.com. If you like kayak fishing and everything, of course, why wouldn't you be here if you didn't? But just remember to...
looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with?
That's right.
Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
That's right. Thank you. On the phone here, we have area code 678. You're live on Kayak Fishing Radio. Who is this? Hello? If you're just listening, tap twice.
Just listen.
Okay, cool. All right, we'll go on. Yeah, okay. So anyway, I got to go fishing yesterday, and I had a awesome time. It was very, very hot. I think it was 91 here. I got up at 4:30. Keith picked me up at 5:30, and we were on the water by 6. We were in the water by gray light, and it was fantastic. It wasn't a great day of fishing, but it was just beautiful. It was nice to be on the water. I got some nice video of some stuff, the sun coming up, and you know, some of that paddling footage that you need to have in your video there, or that I need to have in my video. We get out to the spot, and it's like what I like to do, and you know, at first light right there, and usually I can get some trout to play first thing in the morning. So I like to find a drop off. And usually I find the way I find the drop off is I get there, and when I can see grass on one side of the kayak and not on the other, I know I've arrived at the spot. So yesterday I threw the old badonkadonk topwater, and that thing no sooner hit the water, I was just pulling the slack out of the line, and like a 20-inch ladyfish just destroys it. Bang! There he is, jumping all over the place and everything. You know, of course, I like to see how many times I can get him to jump. you know, before, you know, hopefully they'll throw the hook so I don't have to actually grab those slimy buggers. Anyway, so, you know, of course he throws the hook before I get him in the boat, and that's okay. But it was a pretty nice ladyfish. I mean, that's pretty nice ladyfish. Usually the ones that I throw are going to be about 10, so I got lucky there. But that was cool, and they're always fun to catch. I know a lot of people hate ladyfish and everything, but they're kind of fun for me to catch. But anyway, I don't mind. So we get out there, and as I'm kind of sorting myself out, and I look over, right after that ladyfish came off, I look over at the I look over, you know, because I see some movement in my peripheral vision, and there's a tarpon about 10 feet away from the kayak, probably, if I had to guess, probably about 70, 80 pounds, and he kind of stuck his head out, you know, not his complete head or anything, but kind of stuck his head up, his eyes were above the water, and he was kind of giving me a look-see there for about, I don't know, about 5 or 6 seconds there, and that was kind of interesting. But I found out later that spot that we were in, where I saw that happen, was is actually a very nice tarpon spot. So it looks like I need to pack the heavy equipment next time we decide to go out there. It was a very, you know, it was supposed to be a really, really good day fishing. It was kind of slow. High tide was about 11:30, and the mangroves were just absolutely flooded, and we could definitely hear some action going on up in the mangroves, you know, where we couldn't actually get a lure presented to them. So that wasn't fun. So, you know, around right before high tide came, you know, before the tide got high enough for the fish to actually get in the flooded mangroves, I'm just working a topwater along the parallel along the shoreline there. And here comes a nice redfish, man. Nice redfish, you know, eats it. I'm playing with him. And next thing, you know, nothing. I'm like, well, where'd the fish go? So I pull it in. I got no leader, no nothing. My knot broke right at the leader. So, and I know it wasn't a bad knot. And it wasn't an old knot. It wasn't because it got run through the guides 50 million times or anything like that. I try to be mindful of that. And I always change my leaders out, like, right before, the night before I go out. So, I don't know. I wasn't really putting a lot of pressure on it or anything like that. So, I don't know exactly what happened. But it was a 30-pound leader, and it was just, snap, see you later. So, if you have any advice for me on that, besides quit fishing, I'd love to hear it. So feel free to give us a call. Man, lots of people getting in the chat room there, man. Red Raider Angler, Mr. Becker's in there, the Hammerhead, Greg Crisp, Mr. Lozier, Michael Ortega, and Rob Choi, Benita Bob, and the Godfather himself, Chip Gibson, is in there. So, oh, and there's Chuck. Chuck actually in there make fun of me. No, it's okay. but anyway, yeah, Chuck says this is weird. Yeah, it's okay. It's all right, man. I understand. I totally understand the need to get some time in the basement there and recharge the batteries. But if you're not friends with Chuck on Facebook, he is known as Charles Levi Jr. in there on Facebook. And he took a whole bunch of nice photos over the weekend out fishing with Aaron and Pepe. So that was pretty cool, man. Chuck's definitely got an eye for the photography. So anyway, that was my day fishing. It wasn't stellar. Had a couple of blow-ups. You know, the bait of the day was a topwater badonkadonk. Funny thing is, you know, that's what badonkadonk topwater is, like a 4-inch bait maybe, and there was like 8-inch dink trout trying to eat it, man. It was funny. Those things are like little miniature juvenile bass, man. They try to eat anything. So funny. But Man, my buddy Keith, I don't know what to do. We go fishing all the time, and he's just been on a streak where he just hasn't caught anything. And he's happy when you go out and he catches a dink trout or something. He's happy about that kind of stuff. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I've multiple times we've been sitting there 10 feet away from each other, you know, casting, and he gets skunked, and I'm sitting there catching fish on every cast practically. I don't know why. I don't understand it. Throwing the same bait, you know. I just don't get it. And I could see if it happened like once in a while or something, you'd have to like maybe reverse it once in a while. It would happen to me, but it's always, I don't understand. I really don't. I've been like trying to tell him, here, you know, dude, this is what I'm using. This is how I'm fishing it. And, I don't know. I don't get it. It's kind of strange. So anyway, that was my weekend. Did get to film. I'm always happy about that. I got 50 minutes for my net, or 50 minutes. Yeah, right. If I put out 50-minute videos, nobody would ever watch them. no, my video, I got 50 seconds so far for the new video, and I'm sure I'll probably get rid of some of that stuff. But one of the highlights of the day yesterday was the stork crane bird that was trying to eat my topwater. I'll tell you right now, another good thing here, and if you're looking for a rod or you're rod shopping, check out Deep South Rods. I was using that yesterday for the first time with topwaters, and man, let me just tell you right now, you can chuck that thing. The first time I casted with it with this Bedonkadonk on, you know, I'm using 20 pound braid, which I'll get to that in a minute. I chucked that, and I thought the lure came off. I literally thought the lure came off. I mean, I'm like, I tossed it and had a little bit of breeze behind me and everything, and it just like kept going. I was like, had to look at my reel to make sure that like I wasn't going to spool myself, you know. But no, that thing was awesome. It's a Deep South medium action, or a medium heavy action, 7.5 foot inshore rod. It's an excellent rod, man. Very well built. It has enough backbone in it to where you could actually move the fish around, and it's excellent. I highly recommend it to if you're into kayak fishing and you're an inshore fisherman, like redfish and stuff like that. It handled that redfish yesterday like spot on, man. Whereas my other little floppy little noodles that I usually use, I would have been doing is just hanging on and hoping the line holds. anyway, that was my trip yesterday. And I actually got footage of the bird trying to eat my topwater. And that thing was relentless, man. You know, usually, you know, you're walking the dog across the top and here comes a bird. I'm sure it's happened to everybody at some point. And, you know, you just really give the thing a yank to try to get it out of the way. And that thing, it just wouldn't go away, man. I mean, that thing was pestering me all the way back to the boat until he finally got a hold of it for a second. And thank God he didn't get the hooks. But once he figured out that it wasn't really a real fish, he flew off. And thank God, man. You know, that's the last thing I need is a blessing from a stork. Yeah. Yeah, if you knew me, you would understand that. Thank you. Speaking of blessings from a stork, I found out today that my brother is going to be a first-time dad, which is kind of cool. And I only have one other nephew, and he lives in Virginia. He's 21. Wow. I remember when he was born. All right. And we have another caller in the queue. And let's go see who this is. This is area code 321. 321, you're on the air. 1, 2, 3, go.
Get off my show.
Ah! Oh, man. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm going to make this short and sweet. And I appreciate you filling in for me tonight, man. I needed a break real quick. But real quick, I have to tell the story. This
Go ahead, man.
Epic. This weekend was epic in the Indian River. For any of you guys out there that are listening that want to fish the Indian River Lagoon or from Central Florida, whatever, the glass minnows and mullet are everywhere. There is a feeding frenzy that has commenced, and trout, I don't think I caught a trout under the legal limit the entire weekend. Caught multiple redfish, tons of ladyfish. It was a good time to be had by all, and I got to fish with some very good friends of mine, Mr. Pepe, who's on the show every now and again, and also Aaron, who's been known to be in the chat room and on the show as well. I want to give a quick shout-out to Aaron. He is getting ready to pack up and move away from Central Florida, and his new home is going to be just outside of Charleston, South Carolina, right up there in Scuba Stan's neck of the woods. So kudos to him. Congratulations on making that jump, and hope everything works out. Other than that, I appreciate you covering for me, brother.
And, no problem.
Look forward to talking to everybody again here. I will be doing a show next week. So other than that, that's it. Breakfast Chuck out. Peace.
All right. Have a good one, man. All right. Well, there he was, the host checking in. He's making sure that I don't ruin his show too bad, as I'm sure I'm known to do. But, you know, any of you guys want to call in and talk kayak fishing, don't be afraid. You know, we won't take pictures. You don't have to, you know, associate you with me. It's okay. But if you want to come in or call in and talk about some kayak fishing or what you did over the weekend or something like that, y'all know the number. It's right at the top of your page or bottom of your page or somewhere on the page there. I'm looking for something here. Looking for a group of kayak anglers. Yeah. Where did it go? Oh, there it is. Okay.
Wake up in the morning, grab a few ladies,
hi, y'all. This is Bonita Bob Bramblett inviting you to participate in the Florida Sportsman Kayak Fishing Challenge. Win a Hobie Revolution brought to you by Sierra River Outfitters, as well as weekly prizes by Deep South Fishing Rods and Yak Attack. For more details, check out FloridaSportsman.com.
One more cast, one more tribal fish on.
All right, and there you have it, man. Also want to remind everybody, I know that you guys are aware of this, but don't forget the boondoggle. The next boondoggle is Columbus Day weekend in Virginia Beach, Virginia at First Landing State Park. And y'all want to, if you haven't been to one, jump on my website under the videos tab at abadbatcast.com. And actually made a short film about the last boondoggle down in Chokoloskee, which was pretty awesome. It was an awesome time. It's like that family reunion that you don't mind going to, and you look forward to going to. So it'll be in Virginia Beach this Columbus Day weekend. If you don't know where that is, jump on your map. If you're flying to the boondoggle, you want to land in, I'm told, Norfolk. But if you're not sure and you want to know all things boondoggle related and Virginia Beach related, tune in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. and listen to the Double L Mr. and Mrs. Lozier show. They do an awesome job up there and have quite a following. And I promise they won't ruin Tuesday nights like me. And there's Chuck saying, hey, I'm coming back next week. He doesn't want to subject all you guys to me too much. But I appreciate the opportunity to come in and play radio host once in a while. It's a little bit easier to do it, like, you know, once in a while as opposed to, like, every week. It's not an easy gig, and as I'm sure Steve Chapman could tell you, and any of the other kayak fishing radio hosts, you know, to come out every week and try to come up with an interesting show. Yeah, you know, and there's a lot of people that say, oh, yeah, I can do that, man, that's no problem. But, you know, next thing you know, you look at the clock and it's about, I don't know, 8:15. And, you know, you've already talked about everything that you want to talk about. So it can be difficult at times to talk about everything and keep a show going for an hour. But, you know, week after week, I'm sure that a lot of people do it, but not just about kayak fishing. You know, there's different sports, and there, you know, when you if it's sports talk radio, that's pretty easy because you usually have all of the sports to talk about, but not necessarily with kayak fishing. But anyway, what else was I going to talk about tonight? I forget. Oh, the my latest video has been making some sort of a European run because it's showed up on a couple of European websites, like kayak fishing websites, which are actually really cool. There's some videos, some dudes in France that make some kayak fishing videos with GoPros and everything. And they're fishing off the Brittany coast and off Normandy and everything. You know, it looks like D-Day, and they're out there, like, you know, with you know, fishing and catching stuff. So it's interesting to see, man. I love seeing stuff about you know, different fisheries and how people do things in different places, man. It's really interesting. Yeah, Double L's Tuesday night. Oh man, I'm sorry, I'm just catching up on some of the chat room stuff. Yeah, there's a whole lineup of shows, and if you have any questions about it, just refer to your always popular show host list right there on kayakfishingradio.com. There should be a tab for that. Yeah. All right, Chuck buggered off. Yes, Chuck, everything, you're fine. He took off, and he'll be back next Monday. Excuse me. Sorry, I was, oh my God. Right before I went on the air, I, like, just had this rash of hiccups, man. Because I was eating, you know, Publix had the Ben & Jerry's on sale, buy one, get one. And, you know, I try to steer clear of that stuff, but, you know, heck, it's summertime, you know. So what's the worst that could happen? You know, I gained so much weight, I got to, you know, graduate up to, like, a pro angler or something. I don't know. But, no, I'm kidding. Of course I'm kidding. Yeah, and for some reason it gave me the hiccups, man, and I'm sitting here, man, I got to get rid of these hiccups before showtime. Otherwise, I'll be sitting here going, trying to do it, trying to talk. Oh, yeah. Steve Chapman, I won't repeat that. That's good, though. That's funny. Oh, man. So, anyway, so what's up? Where's everybody been fishing at? You know, Steve, I'm telling you, I got to get... all right, later, Chip. Chip's out. I got to get over there and fish the Tomoka area with Angler to Angler, Daryl Bars over there and everything. That's really a nice area. And over there, that's a really nice fishery out there behind Tomoka River State Park. There's like a big Indian statue, or I don't know if it's a statue or whatever it is. It's a big giant Indian figure back there. And I was back there, of course, it was in the middle of January and freezing cold, and it was just looked like really fishy, and it looked like a beautiful fishery. And I'm looking forward to that, you know, getting back over there and fishing that, actually, when it's not in the middle of January and not freezing cold and not a fire ban. So that'll be pretty awesome. Yeah. So anyway, it's getting to the time of year, man, when like abandoning redfish in my hunt for redfish. And you know, with the heat, water temp yesterday was 85. 85 already. And it's only the 1st of June. But I go from redfish to chasing down snook. Trout definitely come out. People say that trout is a lot better in the spring and in the fall. I don't know. For me, I seem to catch my best fish in the summertime. Really early, first thing in the morning, top waters, that's on a drop-off, you know. That's where, you know, you get out first thing in the morning and the water's like glass calm and you just go out there and you can see the bait just getting destroyed, you know, finger mullet schools and stuff like that. And that's when it usually, for me, is the best time for me to get on some trout. Excuse me. And, hey, look, there's Brad from Sunjammers is in. Losers is still around. Everybody else pulled the plug, though, because they knew that Rob ran out of stuff to talk about already, and it's only 8:27. No, I'm kidding. But, no, so in the summertime, I don't know about you guys, but I definitely change, change my target species and from redfish to snook. And, you know, another good fish to target in the summertime is tarpon. Now, I don't know about East Coast guys, but over here, I found out yesterday that spot that where the tarpon came up and stuck his head out of the water at me was I talked to a guy that was out there wading around with his kayak looking for crabs because he was going out tarpon fishing. And he, you know, in a little dip net and everything. And he told me, pointed it out to me, said, right there by that marker, you know, just past the no motor zone is the place to be. And I'm telling you, man, you go out there with and soak a crab with like a nice, I don't know, like a 6-aught, 5-aught, 6-aught heavy-duty owner hook. There you go, man. And a nice crab. And you'll be in business, buddy. Yeah, so don't forget about, let's jump over here to the other thing here. Don't forget about Bonito Bob and the Florida Sportsman's online kayak fishing tournament. And, of course, I don't have the info, but I can play the soundbite again if you want. Don't forget. Is it going? There it is.
Hi, y'all. This is Bonita Bob Bramblett inviting you to participate in the Florida Sportsman Kayak Fishing Challenge. Win a Hobie Revolution brought to you by Sierra River Outfitters, as well as weekly prizes by Deep South Fishing Rods and Yak Attack. For more details, check out FloridaSportsman.com.
One more cast, one more travel fish on home.
All right, the other thing I got to tell you is I did spool up with some of that Finn's braid, and it seemed to work really nice, man. It seemed to go through the guides fine, and I didn't have any problems with bird nesting or anything like that, wind knots or anything. I don't know, check it out. It's called Finn's, F-I-N-S, and it's pretty nice stuff, man. And thank you, Chip and Bill Howard, for telling me about that stuff. You can find it at any fine retailer. Okay. And what else is going on? Let me see here. Everybody's punishing me for, like, having a year's worth of terrible shows. I know, it's kind of quiet tonight. I'm really surprised. I thought some folks might call in and talk about fishing, man. Yeah, there you go. Brad from Sunjammers. Yeah, the fin stuff is really nice. I'm telling you. That's a great fishery up there, man. I see Captain Linda posting pictures on Facebook all the time up in, where is that, Panama City and Destin and up in that area. And it's just, water looks beautiful up there, man. It looks like the Keys, and they catch everything under the sun up there. And don't forget, I believe June 1st starts red snapper season in the Gulf. And from June 1st to July, don't quote me on this, but I believe 7th, I'm not positive on that, I'm sorry. But Chip was talking about it to me the other day. And apparently you can go out right off the beach and get out there and hammer some red snappers, like, not too far off the beach, man. All right, we got somebody on the phones here. Area code 850, you're on Kayak Fishing Radio. Howdy.
Hey, what's up? It's Brad from Sunjammers.
Hey, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Thanks for calling. I'm good. Hey, so when is red snapper season in the Gulf up there? Or you know, I'm stupid. I don't really chase those kind of fish, so I don't really know.
It started June 1st, which was last Friday.
Right. Uh-huh.
And it's going to roll. It rolls 40 days. So what's that like? July 10th-ish, somewhere around there?
Yeah, I know. I wanted to say the 7th or the 10th.
Yeah, it's 40 days. I know that for a fact. And it started on June 1st. So, I don't know, does June have 30 or 31 days? I didn't do very well in school.
I believe 31. Let me get the old trusty iCalendar out. Hold on 1 second. And it has 30.
30, so that'd be the 10th then.
Yep.
July 10th. But the Friday was just entirely too rough. I know some yakkers that tried to slide off of what we call the West End here.
Yeah.
We had some nice natural live coral bottom just to, I don't know, a mile and a half to 3 miles off the beach, just all the bottom structure you ever want to fish. And it was just too rough. So they were stuck fishing Saturday and then Sunday.
Yeah, any good fish?
Tons of good fish. You know, there's so many snapper in the water up here. You can go out there, you know, with a 5-pound box of cigar minnows with two or three guys and have your limit once you get, you know, the fish, not necessarily chummed up, but, you know, eaten, you know, 30
yeah.
minutes or so, you know. My father, who doesn't do a lot of kayak fishing, we got a 36-foot lure sport fish. He ran off to some holes on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and caught his 5-man limit both days in about an hour and a half.
No kidding. That's awesome.
Yeah. So the
yeah,
fish
those
are definitely here and definitely hungry.
Yeah, those are beautiful fish, and they're fun to catch too, man. Now,
oh, yeah, they're
do you guys...
They get that nice head shake going on. You definitely know it's a snapper about 30 seconds into it.
Do you guys rent kayaks up there by any chance?
We do. We rent a ton of what we call tourist kayaks, just, you know, Wilderness Systems tribes boat, just for, you know, recreational playing in the surf and paddling around. We have some pescadores, which is the old tarpon.
Yeah.
For our angler kayaks, and we also rent Mirage drives.
Oh, cool.
In fact, we had the new PA-12 out putting it through its paces. We installed a Lowrance Elite 5 DSI, I believe it's called, the new side scanner or down scanner or whatever it's called. I'm not a big terminology individual. I just know it basically is a 3D picture on your screen. You know, we rented that out this weekend. So definitely had some fun on that one.
Everybody that uses that thing says it's awesome. So how was the Pro Angler? Did you get to take it out?
Yeah, I took it out about 5 or 6 months ago at the factory in San Diego, and I fell in love with it then, and I actually haven't had a chance to get on it since it's been here, you know, in the shop. I've sat in that seat for probably 3 hours today, just every time somebody walked by the shop, I'm like, hey, look at this seat, showing them all the adjustments. You know, it's got five inches of vertical lift on it, you know, when you adjust it all up, so you can literally just raise 5 inches straight up, you know, in about 6 seconds. You know, I'm not sure.
That's awesome.
How much better visibility, because I haven't done that in shallow water, like sight fishing reds or speckled trout or anything, so I'm not sure how much that 5 inches is going to make a difference. But, you know, nevertheless, when you're out there pedaling around, if you start to get some fatigue in your lower back or somewhere, which I can't imagine you doing in that Vantage seat, but just changing that 5 inches is going to change the whole ergonomics of everything. So it should be pretty good.
That's awesome. You know, the original Pro Angler, I think that is just a well-designed, I mean, it's just beautiful, top to bottom. I think I watched like a walkthrough online, like a video online about it, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then one of our buddies, Russ Pilant from up in Venice, Louisiana, had one down at the Boondoggle, and I got to see that thing up close, and that thing is killer. And that dude's not a small dude, okay, by any means. He's just a big dude. And he was, like, standing up fishing in it, walking around on it and everything. I mean, those things are ridiculous. Now, did you notice the same type of ability and everything with the 12?
Absolutely. I couldn't tell you I lost any stability. Now, granted, I haven't fished out of it or tried to throw bait nets or anything out of it, but just the overall, just out cruising around, you know, standing up, rocking it around, it's rock solid. You know, and that's, you know, roughly 190 to 200 pounds in the boat. No problem. The biggest thing we've noticed when the truck pulled up, every dealer only could get two of these boats. So, of course, we scarfed up our two. Everybody doesn't believe us, but they are not for sale. We're using those to take pre-orders off of for our about a two-week shipment. But I unloaded these off the truck by myself.
Oh my God.
That's how light they are. And the best analogy, which I think everybody can relate to, is when you go into a cheap bar and you grab the beer mug and it's plastic and you about throw it through the roof when you pick it up because you're expecting it to be heavy. That's how it feels every time we move this PA-12. It's just so light compared to the 14 that we're used to moving around. It's just unbelievable.
That's awesome. Well, you know, that was the big knock against the big Pro Angler is because, you know, I live in a second floor apartment, you know. My kayak storage is limited, you know. I get to put it behind my couch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying is that the, you know, that was the big thing with the weight, you know. I mean, I just couldn't see my, you know, me, you know, and it's me that does it. I don't have anybody to help me drag the thing around. So, you know, I'd have to be able to do it myself, you know, and get it up and down the stairs and everything like that. So that was kind of like the big knock on that. But it's definitely a beautiful, well-designed kayak, man.
Yeah, it's definitely not the boat for somebody in your situation. And it's not the boat for everybody. In this new PA-12, it's still not the boat for everybody. If you need a boat that you can car top or slide, you know, in one of those what we call miniature-sized pickup truck beds, you know, the 4.5 or 5 foot pickup truck beds without a bed extender. It's just, it's not the boat for that. And it's not the boat for everybody. But on the water, it's a fine fishing machine.
Absolutely. And I don't even know if you would classify that as a kayak. I think it's more like a miniature flats boat or something, you know?
Absolutely. I think Hobie still calls it a kayak, and it's just my guess. Because of shipping regulations and, you know, registration issues and stuff, you know, it's still a kayak. So they still manufacture as a kayak because it's easier on the consumer to buy a kayak than it is to buy a boat. And installing a bottom machine on that new, on the new PA-12 was super simple. It took us about 45 minutes the first time. And that was with us experimenting with a few different battery locations and stuff like that. About 45 minutes, it was in the water going. There's no glue, no goop set up. It's Lowrance ready. And Hobie hit a home run with this. I know they did their due diligence on how to install everything and where to put everything, and I was thoroughly impressed.
That's cool. Now, what did you think about the Lowrance? Did you notice anything different or anything that you like or disliked about it?
I just played with it in the demo mode in the shop. I actually haven't had one in the water personally yet. Every time we get, and they've been hard to get for us anyways. We aren't the biggest electronic shop in the world, so we get everybody else's crumbs. I really like it, and we got about 5 or 6 of them out here locally, and everybody just raves about it's one of the best fishing tools they've bought in a long time.
Hmm. That's awesome. Some of the folks at yakangler.com are talking about it. They're saying that that's like the next. It's just awesome. So read a review on there about it. So if you're interested in that, check out the review on yakangler.com. But that's awesome. I personally don't have a need for one because usually I'm fishing in about 3 to 5 feet of water. So something like that doesn't really come in hand. It doesn't. I can't get any use out of it, really. But that's pretty good. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say the only downside with those DSIs is they cannot shoot through the hull. So it has to be an exterior-mounted transducer. The PA-12 has the little recess in the bottom of it. I know some of the ocean yaks do. We've been using the Lowrance scupper mount. We've done it on pro anglers as well as Outback so far. But you just need to be careful where you spend the money. I think they're about $350 for the DSI units. Make sure you can mount it, and not rip it off. We come in hot on the beach surfing a wave. You can't always get out and baby that hole when it hits the sand. Sometimes you just come in, hot and heavy and you just got to drag it or up. So everything's just going to get tossed in the surf. So keep that in mind.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. I've never had to do a beach launch or a landing or anything like that. Proper beach launch, with waves and rolling surf and all that stuff. So, I don't know, man. I talked to some folks on the West Coast and they're saying how, I'm complaining about it being choppy and 2 to 4 foot seas and they're going, well, we were launching and it was 8 foot rollers coming in, and I just can't fathom that, man, but whatever, that's just me.
Yeah,
well, that's awesome, Brad. So
what
do you got going on in your store in the next couple of weeks here, man? Anything that folks need to know about?
We've been doing a lot of in-house rigging. We call it the SJ Anglers. We did it on the Ride 135 here a while back, and of course, that hot boat, we blew those out. We're starting to get into a lot of custom rigging. Not even custom, just, basically what you guys are doing and putting on forums, we're stealing everybody's ideas and just putting our own package together. Just trying to set us apart from the other shops in the Panhandle. We're kind of dealer shop heavy up here. So we just try to stand out as much as possible. We're going to be coming up with some new angler packages for the Quest. The Quest is one of the best paddling boats on the market in our mind, and it just doesn't get the love in the kayak fishing community for some reason. So it's kind of a personal goal of ours to help shoot that around. We got a native truck that's on the road. We're hoping to see it any day. So if anybody wants to come help unload a truck, we're always looking for volunteers.
That's cool. Do you sell a lot of is there a demand up there for a lot of the ultimates and stuff like that up there?
No, not at all. Just because there's nobody up here pushing it, and we like to push what's hot and heavy. The big boat for native for us is the redfish line and the Versa board. That filled a need. We were late in the ball game getting native, so we kind of already had marketing strategies and. Just to be honest with you, dollars already tied up in other products, Tarpon 120s and Hobie Quest to really bring in, a lot of their other lineup. But this next year, I've already started looking at, next year orders. And Woody keeps teasing us with new boats, but we know basically nothing about it. So it may or may not be anything that fits in our lineup. Just to diversify, kind of pick the bread and butter from everybody.
Awesome. So would you say that the kayak fishing that goes on up there is like a deep water type of kayak fishing, what I would consider deep water?
What do you consider deep water?
Well, like offshore type of stuff, except you don't have to go out. See, here, for us to get like red snapper, you got to go out like 50 miles.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so we're not blessed with a fishery like that, man. So, up there I think off of Miami is the only place I know that you can go offshore, literally, say a mile off the beach and be pulling offshore fish.
We're extremely blessed to have that. This time of year, it's definitely, you know, deep water heavy. Trolling for kings about the last month, snapper, grouper, amberjack, triggerfish. We try to avoid the amberjack as much as possible because they'll just about wear you out. But, you know, and then kind of in the fall and the spring, and even like in the middle part of the summer when it's just blazing hot, it's a huge inshore fishery. You know, trout, redfish, flounder. And we still have that. I mean, it's still a good fishery now, just everybody's so hooked on reef fish and, you know, pelagics. You know, a bunch of sailfish pushed through here, you know, a couple, about maybe a month ago. I lose track of time very easily. Everything's a couple weeks in my mind. It could be 2 months ago. The sailfish bite, you know, it was hot for us. I mean, it's not like Miami hot. But, you know, a day that you hear two sailfish being caught out of kayaks, that's pretty hot to me. And and our blue water pushed in close. We had beautiful weed lines about 2 weeks ago. Tons of mahi being caught. I mean, just I had 30 or 40 mahi on a trip.
That's
just beautiful.
That's awesome. See, we don't get that over down here in around Tampa. You know, we got to go like offshore for, you know, offshore, like, you know, 30 to 50 miles for anything even close to that. So,
yeah, but we're
that's
jealous
really
of y'all's
awesome.
Fishery. We're jealous of y'all's fishery, believe it or not. Y'all have massive trout. You have beautiful snook. Or the snook, they didn't get froze out this year too bad, did they? I mean, you're still catching snook there in the Tampa Bay area, aren't you?
Yeah, they're coming back around. You know, maybe, you know, a little bit to the south of us, like, you know, Sarasota it's a little bit better. And, like, the further south you go to, like, you know, Everglades City or Chokoloskee or something like that, it gets a little bit better the further south you go. But there's still snook around, and they've rebounded quite a bit since the freeze in, 2009. So they're even considering taking the harvest ban off. I don't know exactly where they're at. With that, but I don't know, man. I don't need to harvest any snook, so I'm okay with it. But
are snook
whatever.
Edible? I know that's probably a dumb question, but we don't have them. Are they edible?
Yeah, as long as you take the skin off. Now, you know, they're called soapfish. So because apparently, if you leave the skin on and you like stick it on the grill, it'll taste like you're chewing on a bar of like bath soap, you know. So I don't know. I've never had to do that. I've never run into that before. But in fact, I believe Chuck was telling me that one day, and I've heard it before too. People call it soapfish. But we have, you know, redfish, trout. I've never seen trout as good as it's been lately. Before here, you were lucky to get, you know, a keeper trout several years ago. You know, and I mean, that was a pretty good fish. Now, you know, people are catching 25 and 30s and stuff like that. Or 20, you know, between 20 to 25 is a good fish around here. Actually, New Year's Day, I was up the Anclote River right here off around Tarpon Springs, just north of Tampa. And, you know, it wasn't real cold or anything like that. And I got one of my number two personal best trout, and it was like right around 29 inches.
That's awesome. That's a gator.
Yeah, for West Coast, that is definitely a horse of a fish. So we're definitely it's rebounding. It's not quite as good here as on the East Coast, because over there, man, it's like if. You know, it used to be 30-inch trout was like, wow, really? Oh, my God, that's a monster. And it is. But over there, it's just common now. I mean, people are catching 30-inch trout, like, all the time. So that's really
phenomenal.
Awesome.
One thing that I've heard that makes the Florida panhandle fishery so much different than your area is our lack of people fishing up here.
Really?
I don't know, a guy named Joe Hebert owns a little company called Fish on Lures down there. Makes a little SS
for
them. Joe used to come up here a lot. He used to be, he actually helped me get started in the tackle business. And then also, I'm sure y'all know him, Neil Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
He's a native guy. They used to make road trips up here. you know, we're fishing out of boats or something together, filming TV shows up here, pushing baits or something. And all of a sudden, like, oh, we can't go in there. There's a boat in there. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, look, there's a boat, you know, a quarter mile over there. We can't get any closer. And they're like, are you kidding me? You know, because if I can tell what color, you know, line somebody's using, or, you know, if they're working top water or, you know, a jerkbait or something, we're too close. And down there,
yeah.
I hear it's, you're occasionally casting over, oh, I'm sorry, you know, that doesn't happen up here. You know, 100
wow.
yards is as close as you're ever going to get to anybody, unless it's just a jerk, you know, that he's running up on you or something.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in a nice controlled drift, I mean, you'll get close enough to talk sometimes, but it's everybody's kind of agreed that, hey, we're getting this close in the boat, you know, the yaks or something. I can go out fishing and not see another boat or another kayak for an entire day if I don't want to.
Wow, that's awesome. I wish it was like that around here. I mean, it can get, depending on where you go, it can be like that. Like, we launched yesterday at Dunedin Causeway, which is right next to Honeymoon Island State Park, and there was nobody around. I mean, literally, I think I might have seen maybe two people in kayaks, you know, putting in the water, like, at various places on the causeway, but you know, we didn't see too many people out where we were. Of course, we're out in the no motor zone, and you know, there wasn't a whole lot of people out there. But when we came back in about 1:30, 2:00, it was just absolutely mobbed. The whole entire causeway. It's like the epicenter of recreational activities. You know, hanging out by the water and stuff, right there at Dunedin Causeway. So, you know, that's just another thing in summer.
New,
you know,
the
you get
going in the Clearwater.
It's not new. It's just a causeway. You're thinking of Memorial Causeway, which is in Clearwater. But Dunedin Causeway is just – it's like the next – it's not really a bridge. It just kind of goes out to Honeymoon Island, and then right across Hurricane Pass from there is Caladesi Island, which you can take the ferry out to, and a lot of recreational people rent kayaks right there on Dunedin Causeway and kayak over to Caladesi, which is a really beautiful beach. But
I used to spend about all of November in Clearwater racing sailboats out of the Clearwater Yacht Club, I guess.
Yeah.
And I was always jonesing to go fishing all around there. I was down there racing sailboats, so I never took a yak or even a rod with me. I'm kind of regret it now.
Oh,
I'm too busy to get down there.
Well, yeah, like right there is St. Joseph Sound. It's a really nice fishery, man. That's what I would consider my home water, you know, from Memorial Causeway, you know, around Sand Key up to Dunedin Causeway and north of Dunedin Causeway a little bit. It's just, you know, it's beautiful, lush grass flats and stuff. But, you know, in the summertime in that area, if you get out, you know, that's why it's good. We get out in the summertime. We're out at gray light or you know, right before gray light, and we're back in by noon usually. So that's the best, you know, you avoid all that stuff because most people don't get out of bed and to the beach before 10 o'clock, you know, so you got most of your fishing done by the time you get back in, you know, by the time those people are getting out there. So that's awesome.
Yep.
But that's cool. I know Chip's planning on hitting Panama City there here in the next couple of weeks before, you know, for red snapper season. So
I think he's here the 16th.
Awesome.
He's been emailing me or Facebooking me or something about it, which I think, come to think about it, I owe him some answers. But he's actually going to come up, and we're going to have a PA-12 with that new DSI unit on it for him to snag and borrow while he's here. So.
Cool.
Get him, get a good review on that from him. Hey, I asked this question on Sunjammer's Facebook page last night, and it blew up. We got something like 50 or 60 comments on it. I'll pose the question to you. Mullet, is it bait or dinner or a haircut?
Oh, man, it could be any of them. I don't know. Since I'm vegetarian, I'm saying it's bait.
It's bait. I grew up eating it. I still eat it. I still think fresh mullet. Our bay up here is extremely clean. I still think mullet's one of the. It's a phenomenal bait. But you get me a fresh mullet and some hot grease, and I'll trade about any fish in the sea for it. But I grew up, you know, my family was commercial fishing, you know, and I'm pretty sure my grandfather used to bring home to like my dad and his brothers, what brought lease to the fish house after they went fishing. And that was mullet. You know, mullet's not a very highly sought after or high priced meat. And I just love eating it. You know, you give me a mullet gizzard, and there's just something about it, that gritty, sandy taste. I know as disgusting as it sounds, but I love mullet. So I posed that question last night, and it was blown away with the activity we got on it.
No, I see stuff like, you know, to me, I always equate mullet with redfish. And I don't know about you up there, but down here, there's no shortage of mullet. Okay, and a lot of times, you know, you can find, you know, redfish with the mullet, because the mullet are like kicking up stuff off the bottom, disturbing stuff, and redfish just come in there and kind of clean up after them. And mm-hmm. So anytime I see redfish, I'm always like, you know, every time I see mullet, I'm redfish.
Yeah, in fact, we get schools of mullet up here, you know, 75 or 100 to them is not uncommon. To the point you can almost smell, they're very fishy fish. So you can almost, you know, it's crazy, it sounds like you can almost smell mullet. You know, there's a big knot of mullet somewhere. You can only smell it in the water. And then with this, in the fall, sometimes our redfish will bunch up like that. You know, we'll have 40 or 50 fish bunched up.
Wow.
They used to be bunched up more. The IFA Redfish Tour used to have their championship here. And I love it because it's here, because it's, you know, good for the economy, blah, blah, blah. It exposes our fishery to a lot of people. But the way that the majority of those, you know, those lake and bays and everything find their fish is just running the flaps, spooking fish. So it made our fish up here super spooky.
Wow.
You know, they'd spook a big flat of fish. They'd mark it. They'd come out the next day, buzz it again at 70 miles an hour. If they spooked it, all right, there's fish there. The next day they'd come back and they'd fish it. And then that's how they found their schools of fish, though. So it really busted up. Our fish just don't school like that, like they were 3 or 4 years ago or even 5 years ago up here. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, I don't know. You know, I never get tired of catching redfish, man. That's my favorite fish ever. Those are they're just awesome. But, no, I don't know, man. Sometimes with us it's really hit or miss, man. Either I'm either finding them and it's like I'm catching fish every other cast or nothing, you know. And it's not just going to, well, you go to the same exact spot every time. I mean, I'm like, you know, I know, you know, St. Joseph Sound pretty well, you know, so I know where to look for them and everything. But sometimes it just gets to the point where, you know, you're just like, I don't have hair, you know, because I'm bald, but I'm pulling my devil beard out, you know, like going, man, you know, where's the fish? I've hit every conceivable spot that a redfish could live in, you know, practically, and can't find anything, you know. So that's why in the summertime I abandon the redfish and head for the start looking for snook. But and tarpon. So I saw Captain Linda, man, some of her pictures there, man. She's down in fishing, practicing for the professional tarpon tournament series down there, man, in Boca Grande. That looked like a cool time, man.
I meant to call her today. I know she was driving home today, and I meant to call her. We were just too busy. Yeah, she was down there waxing and wearing them out. I know she took a revolution with her, so I hope she got some good kayak fishing pictures or something like that.
That would be cool. I don't know, man. I just have no desire to go down there because it just looks like the interstate full of boats. How do you fish in that, man? It's like, okay, you know, see that swimming pool-sized piece of water between your boat and my boat? That's where you got to fish, you know? That's what it seems like. You could get on one side of the pass and walk across on boats and never get your feet wet. There's that many
Absolutely.
Boats there.
Yeah,
insane.
I mean, I would do it given the chance, and, you know, and I mean, we could all do it if we wanted to. It's fish the tour, all you need is a boat and about $40,000. You know, I guess we could all essentially do it given the right circumstances. But, you know, I think it'd be fun. But at the same time, it's a totally different mindset. You know, I don't know. They have to get tangled occasionally. I've only seen what I've seen on TV. And I'll tell you, I love watching it. What I really like is, you know, like Sam Root, I'm friends with him, and, you know, just seeing those pictures that he gets down there, it's just, you know, seeing the behind the scenes of it's way better than the edited part of it, so.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It just, it'd probably be cool to go down and watch or something. But I don't know about going out there fishing or something, man. That would just be, to me, it was just, it's just bedlam and mayhem and it's just crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, it would stress me out for sure.
Yeah, definitely. There's just too many boats and fish flying through the air and everything, man. But that Boca Grande Pass, that's a crazy place for tarpon. I mean, that, for some reason, they just, that place is just thick with them. It's crazy. It's awesome. All right, Brad, I got to pack things up here, man. And I got to say again, thank you for calling in. And I'm definitely looking forward to getting up there and visiting you guys at Sunjammers one day and going fishing up there off the beach in Panama City, man. So thanks again for coming in.
Yeah, no problem. And just everybody wants to target here during red snapper season, but we fish and catch red snapper year-round. So it's just if you can keep them or not. So if you don't mind venting a fish and letting them go, December, we can put a boatload of red snapper in a boat.
That's awesome. That's my kind of fishing.
Literally year-round. Okay. They never leave. So it's not like they're here this season. That's just when they say we can keep them.
Absolutely. Understood, man. And
sounds awesome. Get an open invite. Anytime you want to come up here, just hop in the car and come on.
All righty. Well, thanks a lot, Brad. And I will see you later. And thanks for calling and checking in.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Good night.
See ya. Good night. All right, man. That was Brad from Sunjammers up in Panama City. And runs a nice kayak shop up there, Sunjammers. So if you ever get up around that area, check them out. And, man, that's a nice fishery up there. It's totally different than down here. And, again, I love other fisheries. I love the one that I have here, but I also love going and visiting other ones and seeing what the differences are and stuff. Even though there's a lot of times we fish for the same species, it's kind of cool to see how they do it in other areas. So anyway, that's about time. That's about it for me. Make sure if you take your kids fishing, well, please do. But also be sure to wear your PFDs and also, especially in the summertime, make sure that you pay attention to sun protection, man. Wear your long sleeve t-shirts and your microfibers and your long pants and your buffs. Your yakangler.com buffs and all of that stuff, your big hats. And if you can look as dorky as me, I don't know if you saw my Facebook, my picture I put on Facebook yesterday when I was out fishing, but I looked like Rainbow Bright with my orange microfiber and my mango PFD and my olive drab pants and my multicolored yakangler buff and my green gloves. So, if you haven't seen it, check it out. You'll get a laugh. But anyway, that was that's it. Make sure you wear your PFDs. And thank you for tuning in. Don't forget the Loziers tomorrow, Mr. Wheeler Wednesday, and Chip on Thursday. So until next week, when Chuck will be back, this is a Bad Bat Cast signing off. And you all have a good night. See ya!